Good to be here this evening. Good to see each of you that's come out to be with us. I appreciated the scripture Brother Tweed read to us earlier, and it tells us to pray. And I mean, it tells you to pray for me. That's what it says. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." You're supposed to comfort me. All right. This we're going to turn over in Acts chapter number one. And do pray for me, please. God will touch me and help me here in these days, in this time. Now, the men voted last night to put me in as interim pastor. And I'll be serving in that capacity for 2 months, September and October. And so you pray during that time. Now, I do not expect to fill the pulpit every service. I expect the pulpit committee to get some men in here to preach and try to find a pastor during this time. Hopefully, we can find a time of stability at a time of help in this church. So you pray for me. I need God's wisdom and help during these days. In Acts chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. "The former Christus have I made, O Theophilus, and all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," or after his crucifixion, "by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, and ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us, God, to be here this evening. Lord, there's many that are not afforded that luxury, many that are not afforded that blessing tonight. I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. You let us be here. I pray, God, that you'd please take charge of the service, take charge of your servant. Help me, Lord, as I stand, as I bring forth the message you've given me. God, I pray, Lord, for your power, your help, God, and for my understanding and my exposition of this word. God, I pray, Lord, that everything that is said and done, everything, Lord, that's accomplished, Father, we'll praise you and thank you for it. Because, Lord, I'm weak, I'm undeserving, I'm unworthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In these 11 verses are some great words that Luke wrote to his friend Theophilus. Now, he continued, he wrote the book of Luke, of course, and now he's writing the book of Acts, and he is writing again to Theophilus. Now, who is this Theophilus? The name means friend of God. So, now, Smith's Bible Dictionary says that this man was a high priest. Now, whether this man was saved or just religious, I have no idea. Could it be that Luke was writing to him to convince him that the gospel of Jesus Christ that he had already written was the only true way to eternal life? Or maybe he was already a believer, and Luke was only trying to encourage and verify what he already knew. Now, in these 11 verses, we're going to look at some other things tonight that Jesus left the church. Four things that Jesus left the church. Now, we know tonight that we're not going into all of these things. So we can see in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "My peace I leave with you." So he left peace to the church. He left peace to his children. But these four things I want to glean from here in these verses and in this chapter. The first thing we'll see that he left behind an unfinished task. In verses 1 and 2, he said, "Theophilus, of all," he said, "I want to let you know that of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, in his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ could only deal with one person at a time, or one congregation at a time. He began a ministry to the people, and this ministry was continued by the early church, by the apostles, by the disciples, and it was continued on by the early church and must be tonight continued by us. He writes unto Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. He writes unto him, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So he's telling Timothy here. He said, "Timothy, those things that I've taught you, those things you've learned, those things that you have heard," he said, "I want you to teach those things to other faithful men who come along after you." And Timothy did that in the churches that he pastored. And that same gospel, that same message that Paul gave unto Timothy and Timothy gave unto those young men, that same gospel and that same message has been passed down through the generations and on through all the way through the 16 and 1700s, the 18 and 1900s, and now even to 2025, where faithful men, brother, are still standing and preaching the truth of the gospel and salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, it's through him that we have redemption. It's not through works. It's not through anything that we can do or any way we can buy. But brother, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He finished the work of salvation whenever he resurrected from the grave. grave. And brother, we must continue the preaching of the gospel, of that message, brother, because it's our business. That's the business of the church. I know, brother, the church has gone out and it's spread out in different ways and trying to reach other things and other plateaus. But the main purpose of the church is to preach the gospel and to reach people with it and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Two young men went into business back in the 1980s in New York City, and they started a business. They invested everything they had in it, invested all their money, took all their property and borrowed money on their property and invested in that business. It lasted about 6 months. You went by that store and there was a sign on that storefront said, out of business. Didn't know what our business was. That's the proper stance of some local churches. Brother, today they are in service. They are doing what comes natural. But friend, they don't know what their business is. Our business, friend, is to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, Jesus tells them before he ascends back to heaven, he tells them there, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Brother, we're to go and to spread the gospel, brother, throughout the world. How do we do that, preacher? Brother, we do that through missions. We read mission, brother Tweed reads a mission letter every Wednesday night, and brother, we pray for that missionary, or ought to, and brother, that's how the gospel gets out from us. He said, ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part. Well, how do we do that? By supporting missions, and that's God called missionaries that are preaching the truth of the gospel, brother, to those that are listening. He said in Mark 16 and 15, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Brother, we're to do that today, and we're to do it any way we can. We're to do it by word of mouth. I know today knocking on doors, it ain't popular. I mean, that's just about gone by the wayside. I mean, a lot of people won't even let you in the house, won't even answer the door. So friend, whenever we can at the Walmart, whenever we can at Kroger's or Yugo or anywhere else that we do our shopping, brother, if we can have an opportunity to witness to someone about Christ and invite them to the house of God, that's what is expected. Brother, we can hand them a tract. We can give it to them by word of mouth. Brother, we do it by live streaming. Brother, today there's no telling how many people we reach, brother, on a monthly basis by live stream. Brother, we're getting the gospel out. That is our business. And Jesus left four things for the church. One of them was an unfinished task. He left that task to mainly a bunch of uneducated fishermen. And look what they did. Look what they did with it. They didn't have internet. They didn't have radio. They didn't have television. All they had was a letter and a donkey or a mule or feet. They walked from place to place, but they got the gospel out. Can we not do that? We have an unfinished task, and we've got to do it, friend, till Jesus comes. This church has been in business now 110 years, I think it is. And friend, we've got to continue the work. We've got to continue with the burden that these men and women started with. Back in those years, in the early 1900s, they had a burden for a church here in this community. And friend, it's up to us to continue the work, and the work is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He left them an unfinished task. He left them an unchallenged message. Verse number 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I mean, he stayed with them 40 days after his resurrection, teaching them of the kingdom of God, teaching them the things of God, what they needed. He equipped them for the work they had to do whenever he went back to glory. Brother, he always equips his servant. This unchallenged message, this message is indisputable tonight. This message is indisputable. There are simply too many proofs of his death and his burial and his resurrection. Brother, he left them proofs that he had died. He left them things that he had resurrected. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time, both to daily. It is indisputable, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is indisputable. There's too many witnesses to dispute it. They try to dispute it. They try to tear it down. They try to make you disbelieve it. I mean, the head of the Church of England, whenever we went to England back in 1988, I can't remember what his name was, got over there, and the first thing I heard out of that man's mouth was a rebuke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why be an archbishop of the house of the Church of England and you don't even believe the resurrection? Oh, listen, friend. It's indisputable. The person is indisputable. The proclamation is unchallenged. Brother, where else have you heard where that a sinless person was slain for the sins of the world? Where else? What other religion has where a sinless person died for the sins of the world and then resurrected? No other place. No other place. He died for the sins of the world. He resurrected victorious over death. It was Jesus Christ, the proclamation. All other religions, brother, demand you get to their deity. All other religions have it in their teaching that you got to approach their God. You got to get to their little God. Brother, our God came to us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We have the only religion, we have the only belief that where our God came to us tonight, we have the promises. The promises is that whosoever believeth shall be saved. Boy, I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad, you know, Brother Ronnie, I'm glad the Bible didn't say that if Bobby Clark were to call upon the name of the Lord, he should be saved. I'm glad it didn't say that. Because you know how many Bobby Clarks there are in Roane County? There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. I didn't know how many till one night I picked up the phone. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And there's a woman on that phone. She said, are you Bobby Clark? I said, yes, I am. And boy, she started undressing me and dressing me. She cussed me. I said, wait a minute. Said, who are you wanting to talk? Ain't this Coach Bobby Clark? I said, no, ma'am. This is Preacher Bobby Clark. Okay. You know, if that word said, if Bobby Clark were to call upon the name of the Lord, he should be saved. I'd Well, is he talking to me or is he talking to somebody else? But oh, but I'm so glad, friend, I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother, I can say tonight with a surety that I'm a whosoever. And I called on him one day and he saved me. He said in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brother, today I'm glad we have a message, brother, that cannot be disputed. Then thirdly, we have unlimited power. Unlimited power. Verse number 8. And when he had spoken, no, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, this unlimited power, this power, it comes from a Greek word, dunamis, which is the same word. They also get the word dynamite. Brother, whenever we get saved, the Holy Ghost, brother, took up his residence in us and fills us with power. He lives there now in the heart and the soul of every believer. Brother, today it's through the power of God, it's through the Holy Ghost of God that I am able to stand here before you tonight. I told some of them before service, I said, I have never felt so unprepared for service in my life as what I feel tonight. Oh, but listen, from right back there to right here, God, brother, touch me and give me his spirit. It's him. It ain't me. It's not my strength. It's him tonight. God desires to use us. He wants to use us if we yield to his using. If we yield to him, then the Holy Ghost will come to strengthen and empower us for the job that he has enabled us to do, that he enables us to do. Friend, today, listen, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 48, I think it is, or 49, he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Brother, that power come 10 days after Jesus went back to glory. 10 days they fasted, that they prayed there in the upper room. 10 days they prayed and waited for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And on the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, Brother, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit unto them and endued them with the power from on high. Oh, the power of God is for us to use, to be witnesses. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He's saying, I didn't come with the wisdom of men. I didn't come with the ability to exhort. I didn't come with all of that, but I came in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, listen, the power of God is for us to use to be witness for the Lord Jesus. We aren't to use this power for any other purpose, but to be witnesses for him. He empowers us. He lives within us. He indwells us. He abides there. and we are to be filled with His Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, Brother Brad, it's just, according to this verse, I believe, it's just as much of a sin to be drunk as it is not to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need His power. We need His power tonight. Then the last thing, He left us an unfailing promise. An unfailing promise. Said, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, He went up. As He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Fourth thing He left the church is an unfailing promise, and that is His return. Every promise of God that He's ever given, Antonio, He's always kept. And for Him today, let me tell you, He's going to keep this one. We know that His coming is sooner now than it's ever been. We understand that. And what He said, "And he that shall come, and will not tarry." Friend, today He's coming at His time. Every promise God's ever given has come to pass. And this is a promise of a coming event that will happen, that He will come. Now, I'm not going to get into all of this coming, the rapture and the tribulation. I'm not going into all that, but I'm just going to say for us that are saved, brother, His coming is what we look for. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Let me get to it. I still ain't got to it. Said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Friend, today that's our only hope. It's a hope that your church has. It's it. And I'm glad to say it's coming one day soon. And there are many more things that He left the church, many more things I could say, but I think I need to stop right here. We're well blessed. We're well blessed, and we need to praise Him for what He's done for us and ask Him to help us during these days, during this time. I want to close out the service like this. You've heard the message. I want to read in Acts chapter 4, verse number 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul." When's the last time that we prayed and the place was shaken? When's the last time we prayed and we know that we got through to God? There may be folks tonight listening that you've prayed for months, and you know in your own heart you hadn't got through to God. You're just going through the motions. You know that. There might be folks here like that. I don't know. I know I've been like that, Brother Tweed. I prayed sometimes for weeks. I'm just going through the motions. Let's get back to praying. praying and has a praying church. So maybe we can come back in here on Sunday morning and maybe the place can be shaken. And God can help us and God can show up and do what he needs to do in our church, in our congregation. You know, right now,